Good morning. My name is Bill Kladke, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Mr. Alvin Gillard, who's Executive Director of the Maryland Commission on Civil Rights. And Alvin's here this morning to talk to us about the state of civil rights in the state of Maryland. So, Alvin, welcome to the show.
Bill, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to be with you. Just reminiscing about the times that we've shared over the years. You look great. You continue to do a wonderful work. So I'm just happy to be here with you.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And first of all, congratulations on your relatively new job here.
Thank you, sir.
With the commission.
Yeah, I've been on board since August. It's been a wonderful journey thus far, and I'm really appreciative of the opportunity. You know, I served in Baltimore as director of the Community Relations Commission for probably close to 18 years or so. So moving over to the state, somewhat of a different culture internally, but I think the challenges that we face are pretty much the same from Baltimore City to the state of Maryland.
Yeah, they are. And the more things change, the more they stay the same, too.
And sometimes, Bill, that's a part of our frustration, but clearly it's a part of our challenge. Sometimes we wonder what has happened. We seem to be fighting the same battles over and over again. So you're absolutely right. As much as things change, and we've had a lot of great change, they still continue to be the same.
Yeah, we're really in a period where almost every couple days there's some new flagrant example of how things in some ways have not changed.
I was sharing with my board of commissioners recently that there continues to be a surface calm, but right beneath the surface there's a simmering air of distrust, of anger, of fear, and we see it rising to the top, and it seems to be rising more frequently now. You're absolutely right. Almost daily there's some example to show us that there's still work to be done. I think oftentimes we sort of allow ourselves to become comfortable thinking that things will pretty much take care of themselves. Yeah. But I think we've both learned that if you don't apply yourself, if you don't make intergroup relations and improving race relations a priority and consistently put the resources toward improving race and intergroup relations, this is what we're going to see.
Yeah. Those negative forces just get stronger.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's why the commission is so necessary. Could you please tell us a little bit about the commission?
Well, the Maryland Commission on Civil Rights, in one form or another, has been around since probably around 1927. It started out as the Interracial Commission, looking at issues facing African Americans at that time. No real enforcement power, more of an advisory committee. Mm-hmm. Over the years, we've had several different names, from the Commission to Study Problems Affecting the Colored Population, Commission on Interracial Problems and Relations. And finally, in 1969, we became the Commission on Human Relations. And in 2011, we became the Maryland Commission on Civil Rights. Primary responsibility is to enforce Maryland's anti-discrimination laws, particularly in employment, public accommodations, and housing.
Yeah. And I know the commission does that in a lot of different ways and in a lot of ways that frankly, businesses take advantage of to help create a better atmosphere in their environments too.
Well, absolutely. I think primarily speaking of the services that we provide, case processing, if an individual believes that he or she has been the victim of unlawful discrimination in the areas that we outline, employment, public accommodation, or housing, they can file a complaint with the Maryland Commission on Civil Rights, and we will investigate that complaint. But also, we have a very active re-engagement engage education and outreach division, where we're trying to be more proactive, going out into communities, trying to build bridges between communities, between people, because we're firm believers that we have more in common than there is that separates us. So we try to celebrate those things that we have in common and give folks an opportunity to learn a little bit more about each other. And then finally, through our legal unit, we often have to go before the Office of Administrative Hearings. Sometimes we actually have to litigate in court, but it's all to make Maryland a state free of unlawful discrimination.
Yeah, and that is a tough one. That is a tough one. How would you define unlawful discrimination?
Well, basically, unlawful discrimination, if you're talking about in any of those disciplines that we outline, employment, housing, public accommodations, that there are laws, ordinances, statutes, whether you're talking about the federal, state, or local level, that outlaws that kind of prohibitive behavior. So if an individual seeks to rent or buy a house and they're denied and they believe it's because of the color of their skin or because they may have children or because a woman may be pregnant, they may be able to file a complaint. In employment situations, if it's natural origin or race or color or physical disability, they could file a complaint. So these are the type of prohibited behaviors that are included in the various statutes and laws.
Okay, thank you. How can someone file a complaint?
Well, they can certainly go online to Maryland.gov and link to the Maryland Commission on Civil Rights, or they can contact us at 1-800-637-6247. That's 1-800-637-6247. Or they can visit us at 6 St. Paul Street at the Schaefer Tower Building in downtown Baltimore and communicate with one of our intake officers.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about, I know the commission has an upcoming fair housing event.
Mm-hmm. Well, we celebrate Fair Housing Month in April,
right?
And we have a wonderful staff person, Tara Taylor, who's a director of our education and outreach unit. And in looking at ways in which we could help to further fair housing throughout the state of Maryland and celebrate Fair Housing Month, she came across a Fair Housing 5 children's book, which really highlights for children, for families, the importance of fair housing and how still today fair housing is an important issue and how individuals are still discriminated against in seeking housing, whether we're talking about rental, purchase, communities in the city, in rural areas. Fair housing is still a very important issue. So we are having a Fair Housing 5 children's book project, and its goal is to teach fair housing rights across all the communities throughout the state, and hopefully to hit all generations within the state of Maryland. We have a webinar and a presentation scheduled for March the 13th, and it's really a train-the-trainer type event. Mm-hmm. And hopefully from out of this, we'll see throughout the many elementary schools throughout the state, recreation programs, where there's a concerted effort to teach our young people and hopefully reach the parents about fair housing.
Yeah, that's great. Can someone call Tara about this?
Absolutely. Again, they can call 1-800-637-6247. And we welcome all school districts throughout the state. If there are recreation, after-school programs, we absolutely welcome them to contact us, and we would be happy to accommodate them and get them as a part of this program. It's free, as a matter of fact.
That's wonderful. So contact Tara Taylor at 1-800-637-6247 for the Fair Housing 5 book project.
Absolutely.
Sounds great. Let's talk about the state of discrimination of civil rights in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
you have a good perspective from the city, and now you've had and since you're relatively new at the state, sometimes they say that the people with the best perspective are the ones that just kind of drop in.
Okay. It's interesting, Bill. These are interesting times that we live in because there are so many moving parts.
Mm-hmm.
We're in 2015, 100 years ago, in this nation, the focus was on the release of a film, The Birth of a Nation. Mm-hmm. And we know the damage that this film did beyond the cinematic greatness of it and the advances that it made just purely in the sense of cinema. For intergroup relations, that film stereotyped African Americans to the point where we still feel the residue of it today. Now, you fast forward today to 2015 with the release of Selma and the celebration of 50 years of the Bloody Sunday March on the Edmund Pettus Bridge. I think there's no denying that we have made tremendous progress in that 100-year span. But there's still so much work to do. We spoke earlier about the almost daily instances of either hate mongering, race baiting, ignorance that we hear. And it's not simply a matter of black and white, the many issues that face the LGBT community, other immigrant communities. Mm-hmm. We have an awful lot of work still yet to do.
Yeah.
I think Maryland is strong in addressing issues of discrimination, issues of prejudice, issues of opportunity and inclusion. But I think history has shown us, and it still bears out, unless we're willing to put the resources toward improving race relations, intergroup relations, left to its own devices, we don't do well. So unless we have targeted intentionality in addressing these issues, we'll find that we will continue to fight these same battles over and over again.
Yeah. Well said. We certainly seem to be a country that, in some ways, because we are so diverse and because our laws fundamentally focus so much on individual freedoms, we have there's almost a natural conflict between the two of those.
Mm-hmm.
That we have diversity, but we have this seemingly freedom of individuals, which encourages almost an anti diversity, a focus on me.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as we have a focus on me rather than a focus on me living in community, there's a natural conflict there.
Well, I think you're right. And I think because we are a capitalist democracy, we play upon those things because I think those are the kind of attractions that play well. I think particularly for those who don't have, we sort of get lulled or suckered in to thinking that our own personal advancement is far more important than the advancement of the body. So I think there is a constant need to combat that.
Yeah.
And that's why putting the resources toward those kind of efforts are so critically important.
Yeah, and it's resources, not only resources that to support wonderful organizations like the Maryland Commission on Civil Rights,
mm-hmm.
and other various good folks that are working for positive things across the state.
Mm-hmm.
But for each one of us,
mm-hmm.
we really need to put our resources towards it. We need to put our resources towards building community, towards understanding and valuing that diversity instead of stereotyping it. But we need to bring our resources to the table.
I think you're absolutely right. And I shared with a group not too long ago that we have to embrace and accept that ordinary people can do extraordinary things when they make themselves available to do more toward the greater good of everyone and not simply themselves.
Absolutely, absolutely. Alvin, you and I could talk about this for a long time, but unfortunately we're out of time.
Well, Bill, I thank you. It's been great to be here.
Well, it's wonderful and stimulating as always. Could you give us that contact information one more time, please?
Absolutely. If anyone would like to reach out to the commission, they can contact us at 1-800-637-6247, or they can visit us at maryland.gov, Maryland Commission on Civil Rights.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I want to thank our guest today, Mr. Alvin Gillard, Executive Director of the Maryland Commission on Civil Rights, for being our guest today. Thank you, Alvin.
Thanks, Bill.
Keep up your good work for all of us.
Appreciate it.
And for living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.